Greetings, dear church. Somebody once said the following: watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. It's hard to believe that something as little as your thought could determine something as great as your final destiny, what you live for, the purpose in life, what you devote your life to, is determined by your thoughts. And that's exactly what I would like to talk about today. The title of my sermon is The Importance of Controlling Our Thoughts. The Importance of Controlling Our Thoughts. This is something that I've been going through personally. A lot of times I've been catching myself that the thoughts that come into my mind are not something that I should be thinking about, and instead of stopping them, sometimes they go farther and we think about it more than we should. And recently I've been spending more time in the Word of God, and this has really been helping me personally to overcome this temptation. So for us to study this topic, let's open up together to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 7, we're going to read the verses. Paul, in these verses, he talks about thinking about eternal things, about the things above. And he uses a very important verse in which we're going to read together. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 7, of 1 through 7. He says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things above, that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." I would like to primarily focus on verse 2 here. Apostle Paul says, set your mind. Set your mind on things above. Our mind is not something that can... It's something that we have to set. It's like if you turn on a computer or a TV and you want to watch something, you set what you want to watch. And Apostle Paul is saying you have to purposely set your mind on things above, on things that are heavenly, on things that belong to God, things that will never pass away. And this is not something that happens by itself. It's something we have to work at. So I would like to talk about three things before we pray about this together. The first thing I would like to talk about is, what are the requirements for controlling our thoughts or being able to control our thoughts? The second thing we'll talk about is, why is it so important to control our thoughts? And the last one is, how? How can we learn to control our thoughts? So the first thing is, what are the requirements for controlling our thoughts? So here, right away, Apostle Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ. So he writes to the church, but he assumes that there may be some that do not even know Christ, but he says, if you do know, then you are raised. If you are raised, that doesn't mean raised in the last day. It's talking about raised from death to life. If you have been saved, you have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, then, only then, you can learn to set your mind on things above. So the first step is to controlling our thoughts is to acknowledge our sinfulness. That we have to realize that our mind has been ruined by sin. We have to remember that the Bible says that our mind is depraved. Without Christ, our mind is depraved, as it is written in Romans chapter 1. Also, one thing I would like to point out is that the devil, he works really hard on blinding the minds of the unbelievers. So I know a lot of us have friends or maybe even relatives that are not yet believers. So when I would like to share a verse, read a verse together from 2 Corinthians 4:4 that talks about what the devil wants to do with our minds, especially of those that are unbelievers. So let's read this verse together, 2 Corinthians 4:4. in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds. Notice it's the minds. We would think it would be the eyes, but he says the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you, let's imagine this for a minute. The Bible says that those that are not saved, they belong to the devil. But Apostle Paul here says that the devil tries really hard to put like this dark cloud over those unbelievers so they will not see the light. Because if they would see the light of the glory of Christ, the goodness of Jesus Christ, they would repent. So the devil puts this dark cloud. He blinds the minds. He blinds the minds of those that are not yet born. Born again. That's why we should try with our hardest to show this light so that they will see it and they will not remain in this condition of blindness. And if we think about repentance, repentance is nothing more than just changing our minds, because we know that we cannot change our actions until we change our minds. So when we repent, we know that we have to leave some kind of bad habits that we had before, but in order to do that, we have to first make that decision in our minds. So every action first begins in our minds. And this is also seen in just like what we saw in this passage where Paul talks about to set your mind on things above, because first you put away to death those members that we used to have, the fornication and all those things that he lists here. But also Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus says, whenever he's talking about what defiles a person, it's not what comes in your body, but it's what comes out. And notice what he says, Mark 7:20, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts. And then he lists a whole list of what comes out of the heart and the thoughts of man. Fornication, theft, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, slander, pride, and foolishness. So all these thoughts, they originally they start in the heart, but they are always something that you think about before you do them. So all these bad things that he lists here first began in our minds, and we have to try to control these thoughts. So the first, the first prerequisite to being able to control your mind is acknowledging that you are sinful and that you can't do it on your own. And the second thing is to have a proper relationship with Christ, just like he says here, if you were raised with Christ. So if we read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, this is also a verse that talks about the importance of how God writes the law in our minds and in our hearts. Hebrews 8:10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Notice how first he points out that the law has to be in the mind, and then it is believed by faith in your heart. And amazingly, God wants to have this relationship with us. And the only way we can be able to control our thoughts is when we realize that only Jesus Christ can give us the strength to do that. And thirdly, the way we can learn to control our thoughts are actually the requirement is to have the mind of Christ. I don't know if you ever noticed the verse that tells us that we have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have the mind of Christ. This is an amazing verse that we can think like Jesus thought. He says there, "Who could understand the mind of God as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is so powerful, so wonderful that we can now think like Jesus thought. And what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Does it mean that we have all knowledge like Jesus knew? Absolutely not. We cannot know everything. Does it mean that we can just think of healing somebody and they will be healed? No. When he's talking about the mind of Christ, he's talking about the humility. The humility Christ had when he lived here on earth. That is the mind of Christ. Now, somebody once said about this, they said, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let me say that again. Let the mind of the master, who is Jesus, be the master of your mind. That's the only way we can learn to control our thoughts. Now, if we look at Philippians chapter 2, that whole chapter talks about the humility of Jesus Christ, how he left the throne of glory and came to this sinful world, and he did that all willingly. And then it says, let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I know the Russian word is chustvovanie, but either way, it conveys the same idea, the attitude that what Jesus did, the mind, the English word is let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he humbled himself and he was obedient to the point of death on the cross. Now, if we think about Jesus and his mind, whenever Jesus was humbled, when he came to this earth, he emptied himself of all that. When he came, he was a simple man. So all the knowledge he had of the scriptures when he was in heaven, he basically emptied himself of that, and he had to learn everything. When he was a man in Galilee, when he was working, when he was studying, he was learning the scriptures, and he learned the Bible. He learned it, he memorized it, just like every person would memorize it today. So how did Jesus use his mind to overcome temptation? Remember when he was being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days after fasting, the devil came to him and he tempted him. And Jesus used his mind. Whatever he learned, the scriptures, he used his mind. He used the word of God to overcome the temptation. So if we are filled with heavenly thoughts, we will be able to fight off the temptations that come. So we need to know that we have the mind of Christ, and that's the only way we can learn to control our thoughts. So secondly, why is it important to control our thoughts? You might say, nobody can see my thoughts. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. What does it matter? That's exactly what the devil wants us to believe. He wants us to think, okay, whatever you think, it just stays in your mind. It doesn't matter. But that's not true, because whatever you think eventually will come out in your actions, in your words, and it becomes habit like we talked about earlier, and it becomes part of your character. So we have to, first thing is that we must recognize that there's a constant battle for our minds. That's what Peter talks about in his epistle. 1 Peter 1:13, he talks about that the devil is constantly attacking us in our mind. And he says we have to gird up the loins of your mind. And he says, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to us, brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, gird up your loins, be ready for battle. In other words, put a helmet of salvation over your head, because constantly the thoughts that are inappropriate will be coming into your mind if you are not filling it with the Word of God, if you're not filling it with heavenly things. In other words, just things that are good, things that are of good reproach. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, we have to realize that we cannot believe everything that comes into our minds. We cannot believe every thought that we have. Sometimes you think, well, just because I thought it, that means it's right. But that's not true, because a lot of times the devil sends us thoughts that are absolutely wrong. And we have to learn to fight those thoughts away. And we do that by replacing them with good thoughts. So the only way to fight off bad thoughts is not by not thinking about bad thoughts, is by replacing them with good ones. So let me just give us an example of some how this might work. Just give an example, an assignment to all of you right now. Whatever you do, please do not think about a red fire truck. Whatever you do, don't think about a red fire truck. And if you're thinking about a red fire truck, you just failed. Whatever you do, please don't think about it. So what were you doing while trying to not think about a red fire truck? You were thinking about it, right? So the way to stop that would be to think about something else, like you're going to think about an airplane or something else. Right away, that thought would go away. This is how temptation works in our mind. So if you have a temptation, you're not supposed to say to yourself, oh, I'm going to resist this temptation. I'm not going to fall in. I'm not going to think about this. over time, this it works against us. So instead of doing that, we have to replace the thought with something much better, something pure, something noble, something that is worth thinking about. And in our morning service, the pastor's been talking about the difference between flesh, a fleshly person, or a carnal person, or a spiritual person. And I would also like to point out that controlling our mind is as important as life and death itself. It's not just something that, you know, it happens in your mind and it stays there. But this is what the Bible says in Romans 8, 6. Well, actually, I think we talked about this scripture, but I would like to reference it in this context, talking about the mind. Romans 8, 6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the spirit is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity with God." So again, he uses the same terminology, to set. Put your mind where you want it to be. You're either going to turn your mind on something good or turn your mind onto something bad. So if you decide to live in the flesh, it will lead to death. So we have to set our mind on the right things. We can either choose to live for Christ or we can choose to live for ourselves. Secondly, why is it important to control our thoughts? It's because we respond to things that happen in our life based on what we think. We respond to things in our life based on what we think. Now, people can make up their own realities oftentimes because they think of something so often. So I'll give an example of this. Maybe you know a person that actually looks very good. There's nothing wrong with them physically, but they think that they are ugly. This happens a lot of times to people because in childhood they were told, you're ugly. Maybe in school they were teased and they constantly keep thinking these thoughts, and then they grow up and they keep thinking that they're ugly when there's nothing wrong with them. Or maybe a person is average weight, but they think they're fat and they constantly say this to themselves, "I'm fat," and then they start doing things to themselves, like trying to not eat and constantly fighting these battles because it started in their minds. The devil puts these thoughts in your minds because maybe 20, 30 years ago, somebody kept telling you these thoughts and they remain. Instead of pushing this thought away, they meditate on it, they think about it, and it becomes almost like their reality for them. So we have to realize that our life is an expression of what we think. And what you think determines how you live. So we have to realize that how we think is very important. And if in your childhood you constantly heard maybe from your parents or from kids that, you know, you're not going to be anything important in your life, so don't even try. If you don't push away those thoughts when you're little, if you think about them, then you'll start thinking that you're not good. You'll start thinking that maybe God doesn't love you, but we know that Jesus loves you. He sent his son to die for you, so you should never have these kind of thoughts. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 11:3, in this verse, we will see that Apostle Paul says that the devil deceived Eve. He deceived her in her mind. She believed something that was not true. And he says that we are also able to be corrupted. It says here, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ." Let us never allow the devil to corrupt our minds. Even once we're believers, if we keep thinking on the wrong things, the devil will use that opportunity to put bad thoughts into our minds. So we have to realize that what we think is permanently imprinted in our minds. It's just like a hard drive. If you put pictures on them and you delete them, there's still a code that remains in there, and somehow, maybe through different maneuvers, you might be able to pull that up, even though you deleted it. Just like in our mind, maybe we forgot about a thought, but it remains there. That's why it's so important to be careful what we put into our mind. There's an acronym in English. It's G.I. Joe. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into your mind, it will always come out. If you put good things in your mind, that's what will come out. So let's work hard on trying to put good things in our mind. That's the only way we can learn to control our thoughts. And also we have to realize that it's important to control our thoughts because they have consequences. Our thoughts have consequences, even though they're something that happens inside. It's this wonderful computer that God created in our minds. It's a million times more powerful than any computer that a man could ever create. But the things that we think in our mind, eventually they come out. So the unseen thoughts produce visible consequences. And if you think nobody cares about you and you're constantly putting yourself down, then that will be visible in your face because you will think that. So if we have a person in our sphere of influence, maybe in school or in work, that maybe they tease us or they say something that we don't like, and whenever we see that person, the first thing that comes to our mind is that thing that they did to us. Maybe it's they constantly tease us or say bad things, so we start having negative thoughts about that person. So we can never change that person. We have to realize that. There's no way we can change that person. The only thing we can change is change the way we think about them. So if we think, always have these bad thoughts about them, when we see them, that's what we will think, that will be the impression we will have of that person. But if we purposely focus on the good things about that person, maybe we will start having a better relationship with them, and we will be able to show the light of the gospel, just like we read in the first verse, because the devil wants to keep their minds blinded. But if we have a better relationship with this person, then we will see that maybe they will come to the light and they will see the glories of God. Also, there are a few things that we can do with our choices. A few things we could do with our thoughts that come into our mind. There are a few choices we have. We can either accept it and express it. If this is a bad thought, we can accept it and we can think about it more. So the Bible says that if we have a thought and if we constantly meditate on it, it becomes a contemplation, and then it becomes such a strong, powerful lust in yourself that you can no longer control it, and it's expressed as sin. We can either accept it, we can struggle with it, we can either deny it, or we can learn to control it. And that's what I would like to talk about lastly. How we can control these thoughts using the Holy Spirit that lives in us. How we read in this scripture here that if you are raised with Christ, set your mind on things above. Seek the things that glorify God. So the last thing, and we'll end, is how can we learn to control our thoughts? The first thing is that by thinking about the things above. That's what Paul keeps repeating. He repeats the same phrase twice. He says, seek the things that are above, which are in Christ, sitting on the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. So in Romans 12, 2, the great verse that talks about how we can renew our mind is by, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, constantly renewing our mind. So what does this mean? Renewing our mind is the only way we can truly think about what God desires instead of thinking about the earthly things which Paul says not to set your mind on. We also can renew our minds by constantly learning new things, reading good scriptures, reading good books that have been written maybe even hundreds or thousands of years ago, not just something that's written recently, just constantly renewing our mind, constantly learning new things about people from the Reformation or from the times from before. We just focus on how the people of different ages developed their mind. Because if we develop our mind, then we can grow. But if we are satisfied in what we know, then we will never learn. So we should never be satisfied with our condition. We should always seek and strive to learn more and to grow in our knowledge of Christ. And by seeking the things above, by setting our mind, and by also in verse 3 it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. We died to those old things. So we shouldn't be living as if we're still live in this condition. Also, we have to control our minds by thinking about good things. So if we have bad thoughts, they usually end up in bad actions. If we have good thoughts, they end up in good actions. This is why Apostle Paul also says in Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent, right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, meditate or think about these things. Think about the things that are worthy of our thoughts. Think about the things that will edify us and build us up." So we can also control our thoughts by being obedient to Christ. How here in verse 6 it says the opposite. It says there were sons that were disobedient. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. But we are not the sons of disobedience. We are the sons of obedience. So we should show our obedience to Christ. And when we are obedient to him, he will also give us the ability to control our thoughts and to think the right things. The last scripture I would like to quote today, I know there's so much about this topic of the mind, but the last thing is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, in the last part of that verse, he says, "And we should take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ." Take captive. When we think about what does it mean to take captive, when the nation of Israel was fighting about from the trying to gain their land that God promised them, if it was a land really far away, sometimes God said you didn't have to kill all the people, but he said you still have to conquer the land. So they would take the people captives, and they would become they would pay them taxes. They would work for them. They would be their slaves. They would become their property. So what does it mean that the Israelites took captive of those people? So we have to take captive, take our thoughts captive. That means don't let any thought come into our mind that wanders and it might not be a good thought. So take every thought captive. If it's a good thought, then take it and hold it and write it down and meditate on it. But if it's a bad thought, we should never, should not meditate on it more. So how can we choose to obey the commands of Christ? By recognizing that we have died to this, to our old life. We died to our old self, and the only way we can walk in God's ways by setting our mind on the things that please him. So God sees our heart. If we purpose to follow him and to be obedient to him, then he will guard those who purpose to set his mind on things above. So he will guard our minds. And in conclusion, I would just like to ask four questions that we could ask about the thoughts that come into our mind, so that as we go out and as we pray and we go out into the real world, when thoughts come into our minds, so just a few questions we can ask ourselves so we can determine, is this a good thought or is it a bad thought? So the first question we could ask ourselves is, where does this thought come from? What is the origin? Where does this thought come from? Is it from God or is it from the devil? Because you had a thought about God doesn't mean that it's correct thought. Because sometimes God, the devil disguises himself as the angel of light, and he can send you a thought that's not the correct, not a biblical thought. So we have to think, what is the origin of a thought? The second question we can ask is, where will this thought lead me to? Or where will this thought lead me to? Will it build me up or will it tear me down? Now, if David could only have asked this question to himself when he saw Bathsheba in the pool, when he had the thought, before any action took place, he had a thought. If he would have asked this question, where will this lead me? If he only saw the destruction it would lead into his kingdom and how much blasphemy will come upon the name of the Lord for what he did, he would have never in a million years done that. But at that moment, he didn't think that. So where will this thought lead me to? Will it be good or bad? And the third question is, are these thoughts biblically accurate? Is this a thought that I can go to the scripture and find it there? Or is it just a thought that maybe I heard somewhere on the radio? Or is it a thought that somebody told me something, or I see something and I think it? So always compare it with scripture. And the last thing is, could I share this thought with somebody else? Sometimes we have thoughts that we wouldn't even want to share with our husband or wife or with somebody even close to us. So if it's a thought that we can't share, then the first response should be replace it. Replace that thought with something else so it doesn't become a lust that leads to sin. So in conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, we need to learn to control our thoughts or our thoughts will control us. So it's really important that we think about what comes into our mind. Let's not give the devil a foothold, or as it says, let's not give him an opportunity to work in our life. The scripture also says that we have weapons that we can stand against this. The scripture we read in Corinthians, it says that we have weapons. The weapons are not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're spiritual, but it says, but they are, they are not carnal, but they are powerful to tear down the strongholds which the devil has against us, to cast down arguments that they can bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. So let's learn to take captive the thoughts that come into our mind. If it's a good thought, let's meditate on it. If it's bad, let's replace it. And if when we have victory in our minds, we will also have victory in our body, and we'll have victory in our soul. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer, and we ask that the Lord will bless this word. Amen. Let's pray.